Accession number 26268647, Reel 7.
Arthur Caney, Reel 7. So, you were coming towards the Sicilian Calabrian coast in an assault craft.
Yes.
And it was early morning. How many of you in the assault craft, do you think?
12.
And what were your plans, instructions? What were you going to do as you got?
Well, we'd land them and assemble inland. We had an area about a quarter of a mile inland where we would make for.
Right. And as you came in the assault craft, what could you see? What opposition was there?
Sunny day, sunny morning. Very sunny. We saw the splash of these planes coming down, but they were not very clever at shooting, otherwise we wouldn't have got ashore. But we got ashore and rushed. It was...
Was it a sandy beach or...?
Just the first part of it. The rest was countryside.
Uh-huh. And were the Germans firing back at you or...?
Somebody was firing, hadn't they? But not the... this particular area was Italian. They were not very good. A lot of shells. We had our own covering fire, heavy fire from the ships, onto the beach.
Right.
And really, we looked at it, saw what was going down, and think nobody can live there, because when we got there, nobody was there. They were further back.
Yes.
No, we had an easy landing. Only myself and my little group. The other sides, no,
absolutely.
I don't
yes.
know.
Always speak of your own experience. Yeah.
Exactly. It's through there, it was, we dashed ashore and we assembled further up, got together. And I remember waiting under a wall there with a group because we were being, the planes were coming over. And, our troops were forward, some of the companies were forward, a few just, and we were about to follow behind them, really. We're more in reserve of that group. Forward companies were a quarter of a mile more before. So we were rather fortunate. They had all the rough stuff. But it wasn't a really bad assault.
And you got to your assembly point, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where was that? Do you remember?
Well, a few yards up.
Right, not far. Mm. And what was the plan then? What were your instructions?
Well, we're there to move wherever we were told to move. But it was... I know the history of it now, so it's a bit difficult to tell you. We then didn't know what was going on. All we knew that, it was rather unfortunate, we saw some parachutes come into the sea. We learnt then that further back, our parachutes were flown in American planes. The American pilots let them drop too far out to sea. So they lost a lot, nearly all of them. I mean, that's what makes us feel, after many other things we knew later, they were not trained enough.
Did you know about that at the time? Or
well, we heard...
Come down, did you?
Yes, saw a few, but we didn't know that there were others further back. They must have been long way back, out of sight. But the Germans... Unfortunately, do you know they? I didn't think they would have done this. The people, those we met in 39 and 40, wouldn't have done what they did then. They fired on a hospital ship. Lights on, everything.
Did you see that?
No, I couldn't. Well, it was over in the distance on the right flank. We could see the fire, and we couldn't quite see the ship. The ship set, but we didn't know the actual of what had happened until later. But a few, it soon filters through. I mean, those sort of thing doesn't take long to filter through.
So, from your first assembly point, did you stay there or did you move
No, on? We moved on pretty quick, because everything was advancing very well. Mm-hmm. I mean, our anti-tank platoon, they had small, only had 25, six-pounders. Too small, really. But they had a couple of successes. They knocked off, because the Italians, they had... lightweight tanks. They didn't have heavy stuff. So against the Italians it was pretty easy. But later on...
Was there any? Did you get involved in any firing, or were you just moving up behind?
Well, moving up, I was in the headquarter company. Mm. So my then.
Who were the officers in HQ company with you? Do you remember who else was there?
Wasn't in A Squad, no. Well, I was a colourson. I was in C Company. No, not now. I was in D Company, yes. Uh-huh. Of course. The headquarters of that company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who were your immediate officers then?
Well, I know later on, but at that particular stage, I don't know.
Right, okay. So, how did it then proceed? You'd invaded.
Yeah, well, Monte came up behind. I must say the CMPs on duty there, they were spot on. Standing there, the stuff was flying around. They were still waving you on and doing it. Monte came up in his... as far as our group, would burn out cigarettes and make himself cheerful. But at least that's what made all the general around it. Wonderful when you think. He knew what he was doing, Monte.
So, how long did you stay in Lee?
Before we settled down.
Tell me about
it. Up the troop, the Germans, and our particular group, we captured a few. And
can you describe how they were captured? Do you
know? Not really.
Yeah.
We came up the road there, and two with their hands up, and there were a couple of bodies around. Italian, and there's one Italian there, officer dead, so I got them to bury them. But I thought, well, how smartly dressed he was. Then I realised that they were home area, base, but is going to advance. We'd been soldiering a bit, but we had to bury him there. And we did a few battles for us, and we came into one area where the local villagers had called us over. I went over. And they'd prepared a grave for one of our chaps, one of the company who'd been killed, and they had it lined with leaves. They had it done with leaves, and they were going to cover it or wait them for. And they called us in to have a wine with them, and then we carried on. But I thought that was Sicily. It was well done, wasn't it? I mean, other places they would just have left them on the side of the road, but they treated him with great respect, didn't they?
What was their attitude to you? Because you were the invading force, I mean, the Sicilians.
Oh, no, they were like the Italians. They wanted us there. I mean, they didn't want... The troops would have fought better if they were, no doubt. Mm. I'm saying they were no good, but of course they didn't want to fight. Wanted to fight and what they were. Yeah. Mm. Sicilians, you're very, yes, friendly. I used to go around sometimes, go on a farm, have a chat to them. It's, When we moved, then we went to camp. There for a few days. Oh, no, I think we must have been. And, well, yes, South Midland, I became... It was more of a rest area. And I was a South Midland of the support company, which meant the anti-tank, carrier platoon, pioneers, and so on. Quite a few. Officially, it was about 150 strong, which I got the strength. It was a lot of people.
What are the pioneers? Pioneers.
Now that's the pioneers. These pioneers, you've got to, yeah, it's a different story. This pioneer platoon in an infantry company, they are different to pioneers, which you talk about, because they're in groups or battalions or whatever they are, doing hard work. Different standard, different type of people altogether. Our pioneers were a carpenter, we'll say, signwriter. I know we had a good signwriter, good carpenter. And they used to do the mine clearance. Well, every company did it, but these were specialists which we could put in any area. And they were good, skilled craftsmen. Hmm. So the word pioneer gives you the wrong idea. I'm pleased you asked me then.
Yeah.
There's a lot of difference between the two. Mm. These were people I could rely on. Mm. Well, I could rely on all of them, but especially. Mm. Funny, this pioneer, now the carrier platoon had six carriers. Now, on that those carriers, they had all their equipment. But for us as a company, we had to carry everything on our back. But that they had this to cut. So they had, Pioneers had prepared two Thunderboxes. A Thunderbox, two-seater, you know. You know what a Thunderbox is. And a single one for the company commander. Now, when we would go into an area, they would, I would find a site, but quickly they would dig the hole and put them over and camouflage and so on. And that was well organised, I thought. A story about that later. Mm-hmm. Funny one about that, Sunday boxes. Handy, really, when you think of it, instead of sitting on a pole.
Mm-hmm. Not true. Well, I mean, how did your status change from being a colour sergeant to a sergeant major? Was that a big step up in sort of status within the...
Well, it was a step up, but, yes, of course, yeah, I suppose it was, yes. Yes, because it was a company with, the reason I think I was promoted was because the company commander of the support company was George Warner.
George?
Warner, who had been my, I knew him from Sandhurst, Athletics, and Dunkirk. When he'd been the adjutant. And I remember, yes, I did a few jobs for him. He called me out to do a bit of shooting in Dunkirk town. So I think he must have, I was due, well, I don't know whether I was or not.
Because you were quite young still, weren't you? Sergeant Major.
Yes. Yes, but don't forget, I was fit and knew my job. And there we are. And I was fortunate to go into a company like that, where, well, you've got the VC that I found there later. But that time, we were just settling in. And then we had someone come from the War Office to tell us, talk about weapons, you see. So he came to me and he said to me, what do you think of this new rifle? Before that, we had a shortly Enfield rifle, which was a wonderful weapon, well done, engineered, smooth, everything you did, and we're used to it. You kept it with you all the time. But you, then we were given a number 4 rifle, which is manufactured. Everything was sharp corners, cut your hand on them. We didn't know how it shot very well. We could shoot very well because we didn't have a chance to do a lot of practice. But there's a man come to me and asked me. So I tell him, I said, it's no good. This shortly Enfield, Liam's rifle, we lived with, we know, perfect, rapid fire as well. The others, you couldn't do rapid fire with it. But do you know what he said? He said, you mustn't tell the troops this. Fancy me telling the troops, they already know. I mean, I can't tell them what is a good weapon. How can anyone tell a soldier who's using the tool which is the best? But unfortunately, they bought all these number 4s. Now, then, this shortly Enfield became surplus and was sold off or given away to other regiments like in India and Africa. And that was a better weapon than this shortly Enfield. Because with the shortly Enfield, you had a long bayonet. Now, at night, you felt comfortable because you could use that bayonet, which I had done a few times. At night, it's wonderful to have the feeling.
Where did you use your the Enfield with bayonets?
Well, I'm just thinking about. I know one time I was with not against. Well, not sticking it in. It was funny. I remember the time we were in Sicily, in Italy. I'm just thinking now. With the Americans later on, no, I must have been confused there. Because this was Sicily when you said
yes,
change it up.
That's right. What did your men think about these new number 4 rifles?
I mean, well, same as I mean, I didn't have to talk to them. They knew. I mean, we're disgusted with them, really. It's out of short bayonet. Daggers, well, you've seen them. But the other one, tall, that bayonet at night, you knew, you felt all right. Something happened.
So, you equipped with your number four rifles, where do you first go into action with those? Would that be in Sicily? Or
in Sicily, yes. Right. Yes, we would start. Yes. St. Roger's then, just one Cibini airman, he'd run the MM.
Sorry, well, this Sergeant
Roger? A sergeant. Mm-hmm. He'd won the MM with the Kaya platoon.
Right, and his name was Sergeant Rogers?
Yes. He later became a VC and
right,
was died.
Yes. And what did he get his MM for?
Well, he took part in a big battle. At Cibini Airfield, I think it was. The MM one. You see, in the Kaya platoon, he has 14 Bren guns. Each company has only 9. So therefore, if a company is in trouble and need help to get the extra 14, so this poor chap really, or his platoon, was used all the time. Wonderful chap. And his, the officer had been killed, I think, somewhere.
So he got a military medal and then a VC. Did you think he was, before then, had you picked him out as a particularly good soldier or a particularly...
Well, he was always a good soldier, because he was, before the war, peacetime, we were all in there. All the chaps that athletic team, see, we knew him so well. Mm. Yeah, we knew him, yeah.
So, more action in Sicily then? Or?
Yes. Not too much, really. The other companies. Oh yes, there was some back. Lot were burnt in the fields in the hayrick. There was a lot of fighting against with the Herman Gorn division. They were pretty clued up.
Did you see them in action?
I didn't see them as close together. No, because I was in the headquarters. I was looking back. Didn't think at the time, but I suppose we're lucky. That's why I'm here today, I suppose, because I was not in all the fighting which some, like Sheikh Rogers, was in.
So what was life in H headquarters company like? I mean, it was very much a centre of information, I suppose, was it? Was that what they were doing?
Yes, well, we gave the orders out. And
what sort of communications did you have? Were you using radios or...
Well, we speak better than the semaphore, which we were taught on. We had flags at one time before the war. No, in Sicily, I can't remember wireless at all. Later on in Italy. In Sicily.
So you used runners, did you?
Yes. No, telephone and cables.
Right,
cable. Oh, that's where the signals... You see, all the signals, not only they were good at signalling, but those poor chaps that go out at night, the shells, all the time we were shelled a lot, and the shells would blow the lines of communication. So the signal would be go off and find the cable and repair it. Before he got back, it would be blown again. Yeah, they'd work on our infantry signals. They earned their money.
Yeah.
They did earn their money.
Yeah.
Good lads.
So eventually you leave Sicily.
I haven't got there. My mind is thinking of up to that.
Other things happening in Sicily. Yeah. Did you move to several different places in Sicily?
We met quite a lot. We were there quite a time. We had a few days off.
All right.
I'm in this camp where I was promoted. New CEO came, reinforcements came. What happened in various places after battles and so on? You had to have reinforcements would come. Now, what I found in those early days was that in a section of 7 men, if there were 4 men left and 3 men came in, those 3 men were as good as the other 4 within 3 or 4 days. But if there were only 3 men in the section and 4 men came in, it took much longer. You can see really why, can't you? It happens that it was the same with the amalgamations of battalions later on in life. Just the same. You wanted a few more there for the others to join, instead the other way around.
Were you happy with the corps, generally?
Oh, yes, we can, yes. Because they were put around, split up, they had the same guts, they had the same skills straight away. You say, how is it? If one is with another, I mean, it wears off, doesn't it? Very quickly. Especially in together 24 hours a day, under all these circumstances, you can see it. Instinct. They pick it up very well. Yeah, then we had to go and we landed on Italy, didn't we?
Right, yes. Was there a big lead up to that? Were you briefed? Or
yeah, we were. We knew that two divisions would land on Italy, Canadian and the British. We were supposed to be on the left, they were on the right. When we landed, unfortunately, the Canadians landed somewhere. They were in the wrong place, so they had to pass through us to get in the right position. So we had a chance to chat to them. And, of course, they'd just come from England, and they had all their stories to tell. Where we were out there, they were enjoying life with the ladies in England. That didn't do good and too well, of course.
Tell me about that landing. Was this daylight again, or...?
Yes, a lot of... Oh, again, we had so much firepower from our ships. All sorts of heavy stuff. And rockets. So they blasted the place. Really, you would have thought nobody would live there. Once again, they were further back.
When did you land?
Colombia, Italy. I can draw the map. The name of the place, I don't know. But I know we had to follow up on the left flank in transport. And a lot of planes around those days, which a lot of... We had very good anti-aircraft guns at various points. But this was a long climb up the west coast of Italy.
Right. So that's so our first day of the invasion of Italy. Then you're coming in
Italy was a long time. Mm. We're now. I'm jumping ahead a bit there, I think.
Mm. So, I mean, you landed on a beach.
Yes.
Got off the beach.
Yes, we were. We lost a few there, but it was pretty easy.
Mm. And so once you were at the assembly point, what happened next? Did you move on forward?
Well, we all moved on as a battalion. Companies forward and all in the normal formation.
And was there much opposition?
In the early days, yes. Not from our company. The other companies on the flank were doing more. Mm. I can't remember much about that. I was a lucky old time there, I suppose. I know we were dashing around with... Mines were the worst thing.
Really?
There were shoe mines, which blow your shoe off, like a box. And there were pencil mines, which if you put your foot on them, they would go through your body. Now, they were the worst things to think about, really. And we'd all packed our vehicles with sandbags all around your feet because we were going over mines quite a lot. And the Germans were pretty clever in, with Sicily as well, but in Italy, where they had the mines on the sides of the road, exactly where you pull a vehicle off. So we knew not to pull a vehicle off, but somebody did. And occasionally we'd come across places, we'd see the odd horse, or not, couldn't see many cows around, but what the cattle was about, we found it was certain times we'd drive the cattle through the mine, what we didn't know was a minefield. Then you find it is a minefield. Yes, I'm just thinking. Yes, we made our way up the west of coast
Was there a lot of, were you getting German aircraft overhead?
Yes, a lot. Yeah, and we were in convoy, and I think there must have been a lot of battalions also in a position to be able to pass on information. I remember stopping one with Sheikh Mutis and going into a building, and I found there was a woman there sat on the stairs, and I thought, this is funny, why she should be sat on the stairs when there's then? So we go in, and there were some troops in there, Italian. We captured them.
Yeah.
What they were up to, we didn't have time to do because we had to move on. But it was a very interesting.
When you captured Germans in Italy, what was their attitude? Because they were. It was a long fight, didn't they?
No, it was wonderful. I remember a bit more personally, captains, later on. But the first thing was you give them a cigarette and sit them down. It was all straightforward. Because there was a great feeling of respect both sides. It wasn't like I hear of other units. We were against some of their best. Later on in Anzio, George Woolner used to keep the map, our company commander. And when we moved, we'd either get the Hermann Göring-Dienst, or the Panzergrenadiers, or the paratroops. And you know, that happened all the time. I mean, we would be in one place and they would be opposite, and then suddenly we would move and they would be moved over. So it was a great, whoever, the powers that be, knew the value of both troops, of both battalions.
So how tough was it in Italy? I mean, what was the climate like? Was this summer or grim. Winter?
Yeah. Where are we now? We haven't got up to Anzio yet, have we? No, it was rough weather.
It was cold, well, it was winter.
Cold
it, yeah.
Winter, oh, cold, wet.
How did you cope with that? Did you have any proper clothing for it?
Well, we had our overcoats, but if you're going forward to a battle, you couldn't have your overcoat. You went with a small pack. No, it was grim. But when we came into a village, no people around, we would be able to put a fire on and things like that. But it was very tricky going up through Italy. We were very lucky, we had good engineers, and they would fix up their Bailey bridges very quickly, and they would go quite forward. Oh, and one thing I do remember is the way in which the Cheshire Regiment, they were the machine gunners, were always there putting their covering fire down, and the artillery, we had the 91st Red Field Regiment attached to us, they were 25-pounders. And those are the people we knew because we'd been together in mess dues. And when we did some big battles, especially Garigliano, which is west of Cassino, the Garigliano River, the Americans had joined us somewhere through along. But they unfortunately came off their boats and they were not very well trained. So they tried to do this crossing of the Garigliano 3 times. Then they didn't happen, so we had to go in as a division to cross the Garigliano. But we had their heavy guns supporting us. That was fatal. Well, not quite fatal, but nearly. So we trained well for this crossing of the Garigliano. It's one of our best battles. We have a few. We have many battles on us, but this was one of the trickiest, I think.
Arthur Caney, end of reel 7.